From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show on Friday. I'm Brian Mackey. If this is your first time joining us on a Friday, no worries. It's only our second time going to air every weekday. Every Friday, we'll start with a reporter roundtable highlighting different regions of our state and getting a taste of what's making headlines there. We'll continue with a political roundtable on what's happening in Springfield and Washington, D.C. And we'll end with a conversation on arts, culture, food, and the like, showcasing all the 21st state has to offer. First up, our reporter roundtable. We are joined now by Edith Brady Lunny, correspondent for WGLT Public Radio in Bloomington Normal. Edith, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks very much, Brian. It's good to be back with you.
Also joining us, Michelle O'Neill, news editor for WVIK in the Quad Cities. Michelle, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks. Hi, Brian. Hi, Edith. Hi to everybody.
Hello. And we will have, listeners, we'll have a brisk 15 minutes with our first two guests this morning. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Edith, I want to begin with you, and frankly, on a more somber note. You had a piece this week that found McLean County is seeing a significant increase in the number of suicides. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, it's not very often that the coroner of any county really reaches out to reporters to talk about what's going on with numbers in their office, unless they're seeing a major change. And so Dr. Kathy Yoder and the forensic pathologist, Dr. Scott Denton, who works with Kathy in the office, reached out to us to tell us that they were seeing a startling increase, and startling was Dr. Yoder's word, for the number of suicides in McLean County. So there have been 19 reported so far this year. That was as of mid-July, and that compares to 17 for all of 2022. So that's a pretty sharp increase, and so we already know, right, that we're going to surpass that. As we go through the year. And the second piece of this was really from Dr. Denton, in that he is noting a lot more firearm deaths in relation to suicides. And those are up markedly too. And the McLean County morgue covers about 46 counties in Illinois. In other words, they do autopsies for 46 counties. So they see a broad range of deaths in Illinois by covering about 40% of the counties. So for them to reach out and to be this high level of concern, I think really speaks to what we're seeing in a lot of Illinois. And frankly, it's not a trend that's across the country as well.
I'll mention to listeners, as we always do when this topic of suicide comes up, if you or a loved one is having thoughts of suicide, you can call or text for help to the number 988. That's the relatively new hotline number, 988. Edith, as we wrap up on this point, do they have any sense of what might be behind this terrible trend in the numbers?
Well, the coroner attributes it mostly to what she calls situational depression, where someone is upset about just a particular thing that's happened in their life. And the problem, according to Dr. Denton, is when a firearm is accessible, the person, you know, goes ahead and ends their life with that firearm. And the question being there is, you know, what do we do about the accessibility of the firearms? When you consider that of the 40-some thousand gun deaths across the U.S., more than half every year are attributable to suicides.
Wow. All right, Michelle O'Neill, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Davenport made national headlines last month following the partial collapse of an apartment building that killed three people. What is the latest on the sort of aftermath of that tragedy?
A seventh person, two people actually filed a seventh lawsuit against the city, the owner, several companies, and that's just probably going to continue. The other thing is that we have had no response from the federal government, the White House. Governor Reynolds of Iowa has asked twice for the president to declare a federal disaster to help the city of Davenport and all the affected people and businesses and agencies that have helped the homeless to recover. And so far, we have not heard what the response has or has not been.
Yeah.
In addition, they're still demolishing the building as well.
I would say, what are the consequences of that lack of response on that disaster declaration?
Well, the governor would say that, you know, we just got through with a flood in the spring. And even from the flood of 2019, you know, her letter to the president said, you know, all of those things are, you know, businesses are still recovering, those kinds of things. So, you know, it's just adding on to the lack of resources, shall we say.
Yeah, lack of resources.
Lack of money.
Michelle, you mentioned flooding, and of course, the Mississippi River is a huge part of life in the Quad Cities. And I understand it's getting a new mooring cell to help with navigation. One, what is a mooring cell? And two, how is that going to affect river traffic?
Well, all of us who live along the Mississippi River, you know, when I was growing up, we would see barges and towboats tie off to trees to be able to sit, right?
Wow.
Instead of anchoring, right? So that is really bad.
Mark Twain style. Yeah.
So eventually they made that unlawful. So, you know, 20 some years ago, this program called NESP, and that's the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program. The Corps of Engineers was studying what should be in the NESP initiatives, and you know, the money got held up in Congress even after it got passed. So everybody's really excited about these new projects. The first one they announced was the expansion of a lock and dam south of the Quad Cities to double the length of those lock and dams. And then this past spring, they broke ground for a mooring cell. And that's near LeClaire, Iowa, which is essentially part of the Quad Cities area. And it's this big round structure that's anchored to the bedrock where a lock and dam and barges can moor or tie on, you know, and wait. So like if they're waiting to go upriver to the LeClaire Lock and Dam 14, they will have a place to tie off and be able to not waste fuel idling. And it just gives them a spot to park. And then this is just the first one. There are going to be seven more of these mooring cells built along the upper Mississippi.
Interesting. You learn something every day for those of us between the coasts of Illinois, so to speak.
Right.
Edith, I want to come back to you now. And I understand there's a historic landmark in Normal getting a restoration. What is it? What kind of upgrades are we talking about?
Well, this week, the Normal Town Council approved $145,000 to do some repairs to the Broadview Mansion Bell Tower. And that is a very important historic site in the town of Normal. That's going to be for some special masonry and other work that'll fix the tower. And, you know, people who live in that area of South Bell Avenue will recognize the bell tower. And it's part of the National Register of Historic Places. And, you know, it's built about 35 years after the mansion was completed in 1940. So it really shows, how important preservation of these sites are for the town government, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and speaking of things that are important to life in Bloomington Normal, and maybe we can turn to something else that is increasingly important to life in Bloomington Normal, and that's the Rivian Company, which recently hosted its Family and Friends Day. What happened there? And I guess bigger picture, what does that say about the significance of the Rivian Company to the communities of Bloomington and Normal?
Sure. Well, on Sunday, they had their annual Family and Friends Day at Rivian in Normal. And just the fact, I think, that 7,000 people turned out for the event really says something not only about the employees and their commitment to the plant, but also to the people who are friends and related to those people who wanted to come.
Wow.
And
yeah,
maybe learn about the plan and see the EVs.
And that's a lot more people than work there.
Yeah, that's a lot more people than work there. But, you know, they're also, like everybody else, having some challenges with attracting new workers. And so when they have events like this where people can come out and learn about Rivian and see the plant, see what they produce, it's also kind of a great promotional event for Rivian as well.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are doing our weekly Friday news roundup from around Illinois. This week, we're talking with Edith Brady Lunny, a correspondent for WGLT, the public radio station in Bloomington Normal, and Michelle O'Neill, news editor for WVIK, public radio in the Quad Cities. And Michelle, I understand, speaking of the Mississippi again, as we were a few moments ago, it's getting a new fishway. What is a fishway? And how is this going to help with the annual migration cycle?
Right. Well, most people know about the salmon, right? The salmon able to move upriver, you know, pretty standard part of their life cycle, right? So the fish on the upper Mississippi River can't do that. You know, we have locks and dams all the way, you know, up and down from St. Louis all the way up to Minneapolis. So for years, you know, and it's not, you know, sort of like they have to go through the turbulent roller dams, right? So it's kind of difficult, and different fish have more success moving upstream than other fish. So again, this is related, all the money's coming from the NESP program, the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program. And the woman I talked to from the Rock Island District of the Corps of Engineers, she was just so excited. She would talk about the fish from their point of view, like they're hoping that this fish way, which is a way for, you know, the fish to move upstream and downstream, frankly, it's sort of like a huge, it's a $97 million project, right? It's huge. It's going to take 2 or 3 years at least to build it. So it's bigger than it's like 3 football fields and then steps with boulders up and down along the way. And she's hoping, this is what she says, that the fish will say, oh, it's really hard to get upstream over here by this thing, this dam thing, you know, oh, but over here, look, there's a better way. I can do this. So they'll go up the fish way.
This or is the like 294 around it. Chicago or 474 around Peoria, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a huge, what she says, it's like a huge vote of confidence. And she designed and helped design this thing, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And the NESP program addresses both navigation and the environment. And that's, you know, that's a win for everybody.
Yeah. Well, here's something I don't get to say very often on the 21st show, and that is, let's turn now to sports. And we've only got about 2 minutes left, but Michelle, okay. The John Deere Classic recently ended. You called this year's tournament one for the history books.
That's right. The reason is because they had a couple of concerts on the course on Saturday and Sunday nights. You know, this is a PGA Tour event, and TPC at Deer Run in Silvis is a world-class golf course, you know, and And just the logistics of taking care of that type of a golf course is one thing. But to have these, you know, the idea, of course, was to not just attract golf fans, but to attract lots of people from the community who might not ever think about attending the John Deere Classic, yeah. You know. So it was a packed house both nights. And I think Sunday night was Darius Rucker Saturday night and Blake Shelton. On wow. Sunday night.
Two big and, country acts, yep.
Yeah, and of course, the John Deere Classic attracts a lot of young, up-and-coming golfers. And an Austrian, Sepp Straka, won the tournament, right? So that's all well and good. That happens every year. But having the 18th hole hill just jam-packed with people was really exciting to see.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, we are going to have to leave it there. That is all the time we have for our roundtable this week. Michelle O'Neill, news editor at WVIK. Edith Brady Lunny, correspondent at WGLT. Michelle,
thank
Edith,
you so much.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. Let me mention, we do love hearing what you think about what we've been talking about, especially as we are refining our format for our new Friday programs. We'd love hearing from you. And you can leave us a voicemail anytime by calling 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. You can also email us or find that number. It's all at our website, 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. We'll be turning to national and state politics. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.